What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code RS. We have our eyes on San Francisco at home against Seattle. We're going to go with San Fran, -8.5. FanDuel is all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Get paid your winnings fast. So sign up today with promo code RS for your no sweat first bet. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bet that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back. As you can see, new sign, new me. We're back at it again, Mitchell. How are you? Welcome back to the Richard Sherman Podcast. We're doing it again.
It's another Sunday, favorite day of the week. You sit on the couch for like 12 hours straight and just watch football. And there was some good football today. The storyline going into the day was the big matchup between Brady and Rodgers. That game just wrapped up. Wasn't quite the theatrics that we expected, but it still came down to the wire. Richard, your thoughts on the Brady-Rodgers matchup?
I mean, it's a great matchup. I mean, between them, they threw 2 incompletions the entire first half. It looked like the game. They looked like the quarterbacks that we've all built them to be and who they all have been their entire career. But at the end of the game, second half, my boy A-Rod, no touchdowns, 1 interception. Tom drives the ball down the field, scores a touchdown, and has a delay of game for the 2-point conversion. At home, no crowd noise. Ah, that's going to be a backbreaker. That's one they're going to hate. You know, that's one of the ones you'd love to have back, because who knows if they can get it or not, but Leonard Fournette is tough to bring down and stop with 2 yards to go. I think they get that, but, you know, makes it a lot harder, 2-point conversion. A-Rod gets the win, so that's all that matters. He threw an interception, but nobody's going to remember. Everybody remember wins and losses, and A-Rod got this one.
Richard, it was a low-scoring affair. 14-12. Definitely did not expect it to be that low-scoring. I know Vegas didn't expect it to be that low-scoring.
I bet they didn't.
Would you attribute that to bad offense or good defense or a combo of both?
A combo of both. First off, A-Rod, you know, is still battling his way through with these young guys and still trying to make it through. They made some plays for him today. He made some plays. He simplified the offense. He got it to his playmakers early, moving the defense, backside slant, finding those guys in very, you know, creative ways. But Tom, on the other hand, is out there with whoever they could find. You know, he's down 3 of his top 3 receivers. Russell Gage is still out there. He got $30 million, so he's still out there, and he had a heck of a game. But There was a lot of drops, a lot of fumbles, crucial situations. You know, Tom played a pretty good game, a really good game. And those fumbles were game-changing plays. Keyshawn Nixon made a heck of a play for the Green Bay Packers, came in there for Jair Alexander, made a huge play, game-changing play, punched the ball out. And that's what the Packers needed. They needed those turnovers. So I give credit to the defense. You know, Tom had a good game, but he got down the field when it counted. But you got to find those 2 points.
How in the world can a 350-pound nose tackle in Vita Vea play in space, in coverage, break up that pass on Aaron Jones? I mean, there's some monsters on the defensive side of the ball for the Bucs. I know that you know all of them very, very well. Does this loss change the way you view them as a top tier team in the NFC?
No. I mean, it doesn't really change the way I view them. It may change the seeding down the line if they're not able to make a run. The health of their receiving core is at the crust of this, so it's not. And Tom still had a chance to win at the end of the game. So, you know, without three of the top receivers at his disposal, he still was able to go out there and give himself a chance to win. And you got to give Tampa Bay defense credit for being able to hold A-Rod down to 14 points the entire game. With that being said, those receivers got to be healthy. You know, Mike has to come back. Godwin has to come back. Julio Jones, partially torn PCL. We're just hearing about that. You don't want to hear that. You know, obviously, when they need to be healthy is December. But, I mean, we're three games in, and they've all dropped.
The best ability is availability, and right now they do not have that. Richard, going into this weekend, the Vegas odd line for broken tablets in this game was over under 1.5. I didn't see Brady throwing any on the sideline, but I did hear there was a league-wide memo sent out to stop breaking tablets. Is this the weirdest thing you've heard in a while, or is that just par for the course with the NFL?
That's par for the course, but I don't think that's something Tom is thinking about in the game. If he got pissed off and wanted to break a tablet, he going to break a tablet. But I think he just wanted to show more confidence, more poise, more leadership. And that matters, you know, especially when you got a bunch of young receivers out there. They see you throwing a fit and pissed off, and, you know, it kind of puts their head to the ground. And instead, he was out there trying to encourage his guys, you know, looking them in the eye like, hey, I know you made a mistake, but you got this. And I think that meant a lot more to those guys than watching him break a tablet. You know, it's – with veteran receivers, you can do that. They know, hey, I got to play better. I got to do better. I got to make those plays. But with young guys, that could crush them. And he understood that and changed it this week.
Now, Richard, moving on. We saw a big upset in Indy today.
Colossal
upset in Indy. Did you see this coming? Are you surprised at all?
Now, I'm going to let you know something. If somebody said they saw this coming and they're outside of Indianapolis, they're lying. Even inside of Indianapolis, they're lying. That was a great game, and it was a great game plan. Using Gilmore on Travis Kelce, a lot of those plays, and finding him ways to – Gus Bradley, finding ways to get him involved. He's still a top-tier corner. You just got to put him in matchups. He's so used to man-to-man. They used him on Travis Kelce in critical situations. He was able to make those plays. And there was you saw there was some confusion. You know, I don't want to say there was a disagreement, but Mahomes at the half wanted to go for points. Bieniemy wanted to get to the locker room. Hey, I hear you, but you gotta. They always told me you gotta listen to the coordinator, and you're not the coach. And so I'm sure they'll have a discussion. I'm sure next time Bieniemy will give him the ball and let him go for it. But in that situation, it's not like they were scoring a ton of points. Avoid the turnover, unnecessary turnover or something like that before the half. Cool. But later on in the game, it came back to bite them. They needed a field goal. They couldn't get it. Their special teams let them down. Fake field goal, botched it. Come on, Mitch, you can't have those plays. Like, and those are desperation plays for a team that's so creative offensively, so amazing and so innovative. Sometimes you just – a team has your number for the night, and that's what it looked like.
I mean, it was a pedestrian game for them, Rich. They did not look themselves at all. Every time you thought, hey, they're going to score here. They're going to get it done here. And then making mistakes and mental mistakes. Chris Jones getting flagged for saying God knows what at the end of the game. But those are mistakes that championship teams do not make. Those are mistakes that teams that are allergic to winning make. And, you know, Rich, that's not something we've become accustomed to seeing with the Chiefs. So,
I mean, it's the opposite of what we saw last week from their game against the Chargers. When they needed big plays, they got them. When the other team made mistakes, they capitalized on them. And it was the opposite this week. I mean, Chris Jones doesn't make that mistake very often. And, you know, he has a track record of being very poised and very to the point. And I don't know what he said, But I'm sure he regrets saying it now because it cost his team. You know, his team was off the field. That's a game-changing play. The Colts will go down and score.
Now, Richard, both teams coming off big losses. Bucks and the Chiefs play each other next Sunday on Sunday Night Football. I mean, talk about another great game, but this is a get-back game for both guys. Who do you think will have the upper hand going into Sunday night?
It really depends on the health of those receivers that we've been talking about. Hey, those receivers got to get healthy. If they're not healthy, then it obviously goes to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are better equipped to beat the Bucks than even the Packers were. You know, the Packers got A-Rod, but, you know, their weapons aren't as crazy as the Chiefs. They don't have Travis Kelce. They don't have proven all-pro on the offensive side. They don't, you know, they got A-Rod, and A-Rod can make anything shake. But I think with Andy Reid play calling, I think they would have that advantage unless Mike Evans is healthy and Chris Godwin is healthy and Julio Jones, and I'd give it to the Bucks.
Now, Richard, another huge in-division game. Surprise, the Dolphins are for real. Miami at home, 21-19 over the Bills. We saw them try to lose it with a nice butt punt, whatever they're terming it now, move over Mark Sanchez, move in whoever this punter is that decides to bank it off of his own player.
Right.
But God bless them, they pulled off the win. I mean, is this catapult Miami into Richard Sherman's top three power rankings potentially?
No question it does. Mitchell, we're talking about, I did not think they could do it. Now, they were on Josh Allen early on. They forced a turnover. They made him uncomfortable, made him move around the pocket. You're like, oh my God, Miami has a good plan. Josh Allen figured that part out. Okay, moving on. We're going to figure this out. Buffalo, Josh Allen throws for 400. And you lose, but you knew it was going to be tough this game. You lose Micah Hyde. You lose most of your secondary. They just weren't healthy enough. You know, they weren't healthy enough going into this game. Jordan Poyer, they got banged up at the wrong time. And then you got Cheetah and Jalen Waddle. And you're sitting there like, you just know at one point or another, that's what makes him so dangerous. Tua didn't throw for 469 again, but he threw big plays. Big yardage, explosive when they needed him in the fourth quarter. Again, they walked the ball down the field, huge explosive plays. Tua got knocked out of the game, and all of a sudden his back was tight. We hadn't heard of it back tightening up at all. We hadn't heard of this back injury at all. It wasn't in the report, but when his head hit that turf, it was his back. And I don't know who's telling the truth. I just know that's different than what was on the initial reports.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Richard, that didn't look like a back injury to me either. I mean, and now there's the Dolphins are under the spotlight for the way they handle that situation, but more to come there. What's amazing to me, though, Rich, and this is actually a pretty crazy stat, the Bills since last season are 0-6 in single-possession games. First and foremost, that's insane that all their wins are by more than one possession. But second off, is that a concern when the Bills are in close games that they just can't seem to pull it out?
Mitchell, you know what's a concern? That's a concern, sure. But I think Josh Allen will figure that out, and he's going to be a problem down the stretch for a lot of teams. A problem to me is 63 attempts. Career high, franchise record. 42 completions. Career high. You can't blame him. Team lost 3 fumbles. Kicker went 1 for 2. You lost by 2. Crazy. Mitchell, this is a staggering stat. This should stagger you. They ran 51 more plays. Mitchell, you run 51 more. That's a whole nother game than the other team. You ran a whole nother game than the other team. And you lost? That is disheartening. I can't wait for Buffalo, Miami number 2. But that one, playing at home, Miami showed, hey, we're the real deal. We said they were going to put them in the sunny side of the field, and it was hot. It was too hot. And Buffalo ran way more plays. You would think that Miami's defense would get tired, and they did not. Miami runs a lot of man coverage. They found a way.
Richard, you have experience with Coach Mike McDaniel. The coach of the year potentially here on the horizon?
Easy, Mitchell. Easy now.
You know that pedigree, though, Rich.
I know the pedigree, but we're a little early, and the guy in Philadelphia is going to have something to say about that as well. You know, it's a couple guys going to be in that conversation, but early on, he's definitely in that conversation, but it's a long season, as we know. Just like those ball games, they're a long ball game. If you judge them off the first quarter, there'll be a lot of different outcomes today than what the real outcome was. And I think that we just got to continue to monitor that situation, but they're definitely moving up in my power rankings. They showed they're for real. Buffalo has been outstanding, but those injuries in the secondary are way bigger than people are. Everybody's always offense, but you just lost 2 of the best safeties in the National Football League on one of the best defenses. They're not giving – there's 2 Pro Bowl safeties. One of them was an all-pro at times. Like, you're not just walking away and saying, oh, yeah, we'll be all right. We're going to put some young guys in. And, you know, there are places you can kind of weather the storm. Safety is one of them.
That is a brutal blow. Micah Hyde's a hell of a player. And like you said, Jordan Poyer struggling as well. Richard, you mentioned the Eagles. And I know that the NFC East was your dumpster fire walking into the season. And it appeared that way, you know, until the ball was snapped in week 1 in Ford Field. And the Eagles were running the ball all over the field. I know you don't want to do it. I don't know why, but I know you don't. But how high up in your ranks are the Eagles going to go?
They're going to get higher than I thought they would get. You know, I'm not going to pull back the curtain right now and let people know. But they're going to move up. They're going to move into my top 5, no question. They had a vendetta against Carson Wentz. I don't know what he said leaving Philadelphia to piss them boys off. But everybody wanted a piece of him, and everybody got a piece, Mitchell. 17 quarterback hits, 9 sacks. Mitch, 9 sacks does not happen very often to any team. And the Washington Commanders have not given up 9 sacks in the game. They haven't just been letting him get hit that way. He's been playing pretty decent football. Philadelphia said, that's enough. You know, Fletcher Cox, Hargraves, them boys was at his neck. And then you got Jalen Hurts. Played his game. He moved the ball down the field. He was accurate. He ran it. He's just dynamic. He's really dynamic. He threw for 340, 3 touchdowns. Like, you got to give him credit where credit's due. He's playing good football. You talk about who's early season MVP. He's dark horse. He's dark horse for sure. Mm. He's putting himself in, threw his hat in the ring out of nowhere. Obviously, Lamar has won it. Lamar has the pedigree, and he's playing outstanding football week after week after week. But so is Jalen Hurts. That boy said, hey, y'all talking about MVP, and y'all ain't mentioning me? Problem.
Well, Richard, they're going to start mentioning him a lot. And the thing with the Eagles is, every layer of that offense, they got a good running game. They got explosive receivers. We saw Devontae Smith go off and do his Heisman Trophy-esque things today. And then, as we talked about it, defensively, now their defensive line's starting to show up. But on the outside cornerback positions, our boy, big play Slay, is shutting guys down. I mean, day in, day out, shutting guys down. You got him and Bradbury. The Eagles, they might just do it this year, Rich. They have a legitimate shot at coming out of the NFC if they play this way.
Well, all I know is big play Slay better get some consideration for this first team All-Pro. I know it's a long season. Keep watching him. It's only the beginning. He's following guys. He's locking them up. He's playing well. He's over 30. Don't hold that against him. He should be on the first team All-Pro season this year. I'm calling it early, very early, still the first quarter of the season. But this is who he is. This isn't like, oh, man, he's playing out of his mind this year. Or like, man, look at him. Like, he's never played like this. He's always played like this. This is how he played. People are just finally noticing because his team is matching his production. So now he's on a 3-0 team playing lockdown defense. And people are like, man, Darius Slay is a heck of a player. He's been a heck of a player.
100%.
But Devontae Smith having a breakout game after all day A.J. Brown has been the focal point is huge for this team. Like, they've been waiting for him to have the game where he just says, hey, I'm here to stay. I'm here too. And this was the game. He went off. He looked aggressive. He looked explosive. Man, they're going to be tough to deal with.
Skinny Batman, as Slay calls him.
Yeah, Skinny Batman.
The Baltimore Ravens gave it to the Patriots. Patriots try to hang in there. You know, you wanted that. Mac Jones doing the gritty in the end zone, whatever the heck you want to call that. But Lamar Jackson continues to do Lamar things. He's back into what appears to be that MVP form. What do you think of Lamar right now, Rich? He bet on himself, and it looks like he's winning.
Mitchell, he winning, and it's going to be expensive. Ooh, it's going to be expensive. I don't want to be Baltimore. It's going to be too expensive to be in Baltimore. They're going to have to pull every – they're going to have to pull from everybody. They're going to be calling the president, the reserve. They're going to back up the Brinks truck and their cousin truck. Like, they're going to need to pay. But Lamar is doing what Lamar has done for that franchise. And it's just unfortunate that he's not hasn't been rewarded for it yet. But I can harp on that day in and day out. I'm not going to. They won the game like they're supposed to. The defense decided to show up, forced Mac Jones into some turnovers. Concern there. Mac Jones limping off the field, needed help into the locker room. But what about what happened in Jacksonville? The Chargers. No. I wanted to believe. Mitchell, I had them early season favorite. Herbert MVP. Like, I was believing. I'm drinking a Kool-Aid by the gallon. Like, what are we doing?
Richard, you were drinking so much Kool-Aid, you gave me some of it, man. I was drinking the Kool-Aid with you. And then you watched today's game. I mean, shoot, you watched last week's game, right? It all started there. Asante Samuel dropped two sure picks, and the Chiefs take advantage and win the game. And that was a game we discussed the Chargers should have won. Now here we are. This is a massive letdown at home, getting ran out of the building. I mean, the Jags looked like they were one of the top teams in the league out there today. If you would have just wiped the name Jaguars off their helmet and put just a blank uniform on them, you would have thought they were who, Richard? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You certainly would not have thought they were the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it's a problem when you're making the Jags look good. But
credit to the Jags. Credit to Doug Peterson. It's sure. Crazy what real NFL coaching will do for you. Yes, it's not Urban Meyer. This ain't college.
You telling me you didn't like Urban Meyer?
I don't dislike him. I just think there's a difference between college and the league. You can't kick kickers and think it's sweet. These grown men. And Doug Peterson knows how to coach. It's the reason he has a Super Bowl under his belt. And those boys are playing for him. I mean, you just look at the quarterback. Trevor Lawrence looks like an entirely different quarterback. Hey, look what happens when you play to his strengths. Roll him out of the pocket. Give him easy looks. Scheme him up some open receivers. Man, he looks good. He looks good. He still looks like he's young. He makes some mistakes. But, I mean, what did he do today? What did he do? He 28 for 39, 262, three touchdowns, no interception. That's whole different kid right there. I mean, he's moving the ball. He's confident. The defense forcing turnovers. And the defense that he was going against weren't any slouches. Like, again, the same guys we were talking about earlier. There's Mack. There's Bosa. There's Derwin James. J.C. Jackson didn't play, but Asante Samuel Jr. sure did. Like, they have playmakers on the defensive side, and that's what's disappointing. They gave up 38 points. And then on the other side, you're getting more banged up by the day. You can't have these losses in this division you're playing in and these injuries. I mean, Herbert came into the game with cartilage damage. Then you lose Slater, one of the top tackles in National Football League. Keenan Allen was already out. J.C. Jackson's already down. Like, it's starting to become really concerning because
Joey
it's not.
Joey Bosa gets banged up.
Oh, my goodness. Like, if you're Brandon Staley, you're sitting there like, man, WTF.
Can we just get to the bye week at this point? Because the Chargers look like a completely different team, Rich. And the Jaguars, 2-1, they got a great run game. They have weapons offensively. Zay Jones and Christian Kirk are actually surprising in that offense. Are the Jaguars someone to be on alert of in the NFL right now, or is this just a phantom game?
Pump them again, Mitchell. Now, you give them credit. You give Doug Peterson the credit. What they were putting on tape last year versus what they're putting on tape right now, they look aggressive. They look confident. They look really good. So you got to give them credit. But I'm not, keep showing me, consistency. Anybody can do it once. Anybody can do it twice. I need to see you do it for a season. And that's what's happening to your Detroit Lions, man. They are battling, Mitchell. They are battling.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Richard, we were texting during the first slate of games, and I told you Detroit might have a squad this year. They were up 14-0. I was like, holy cow, the Detroit Dan Campbells are going to be, squeaking into the playoffs here. And you said, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually kind of believe in Jared Goff right now. And then the Lions did what they did. And I don't want to say same old Lions, Richard.
It's not the same old Lions. I'm not going to let you say that.
All right, let's go to the coaching decision at the end of the game. Dan Campbell decides with under a minute left in the game to kick a 50-plus yard field goal, and they miss. With the coach that Dan Campbell is, he's trying to preach, put your foot on your opponent's neck, right? Drag them out to the abyss and drown them. He didn't coach like that at the end of the game. To me, I thought he would go for it. Either go for it or pin him at the one-yard line. You got one of the best punters in the NFL. You do that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that coaching decision at the end of the game? What does Coach Sherman do?
Mitchell, you got to punt it. You got to punt it and trust your defense. Your defense have been playing well, but obviously, in the fourth quarter, everything, recency bias. During the fourth quarter, Minnesota had been moving the ball. Kirk looked good. He was starting to heat up. So recency bias tells you, I need to get points now, and I need to get them while I can. And that's the conservative call, as you're saying. But if he makes the kick, everybody's like, look at him. Great call. Trust your kicker. Way to believe in your team. But he didn't. But he's living and he's learning. I am very impressed still by what I'm seeing from that offense. Amon-Ra St. Brown is still showing up week in and week out, looking like a very special player and looking like somebody Detroit is going to have to invest in later on. Defensively, they're still showing up. But these late game collapses are something they're going to have to address. They have to find a way to get stops. We were talking about Cleveland Browns doing that against Pittsburgh, and they were able to get stops at the end. That's what they're going to have to do. Like, it's, you go from like, hey, the hard knocks feel good story to, hey, people see you as a competitive team. Now convince people you're a really good team by winning those ball games that everybody's feeling good that you're in.
And they have an easy schedule coming up. They're at home against Seattle next week. I mean, they're going to have opportunities to win some games. But another big storyline in this game, was Justin Jefferson. You know, second week in a row, he goes out there and was it pretty much wasn't there, wasn't himself. I mean, is this Jeff Okuda? Is Jeffrey Okuda actually, you know, resurrecting his career in Detroit?
He is definitely resurrecting his career right now. Jeffrey Okuda is having a bounce back year. Is he showing everything he did needed to be the number three pick? I don't know. But is he showing that, hey, he deserved to be a first-round pick and a big-time player and is not going to go down as a bust if he continues to play like this? He's going to be a very solid and maybe really good cornerback in his National Football League. And for him to go toe-to-toe with Justin Jefferson and hold him to three catches and 14 yards says a lot. You know, Justin Jefferson started the season by going 180 on the Green Bay Packers. And so it is something to be said. And the only other person to shut him out like that was our boy. Big play.
Big play. The first team All-Pro big play.
Yeah, he about to be the first team All-Pro big play. But I don't know about the Detroit schedule being easy because that Atlanta-Seattle game went down to the wire. Geno's playing well. They're starting to get DK involved a lot more. Tyreek Woolen looking like a steal in the draft.
Richard, I said that just to try to spark a fire, man. Just to try to spark a fire here.
And your boy, Kenneth Walker Jr., got a few carries. Look dynamic.
He is dynamic, Rich. He is dynamic. I mean, we talked about this last year. He is dynamic. He's going to be the second coming of beast mode in Seattle. Everyone's going to be fired up. They couldn't pull it off, though, Rich.
They could not.
I mean, if we're gonna go out to the NFC West, let's go all the way out to the NFC West. Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks, all three teams. I mean, the Rams, fine. But the Cardinals and the Seahawks, the Cardinals might be the worst team in the NFL right now, Rich. Just from a common layperson watching them play football, they're not fun to watch.
That's hard to say because there's only one 0-3 team in the National Football League right now. And they're in your old home, Las Vegas. And that's tough because they invested a lot of people looking at Josh McDaniel was like, now, wait a minute. This Belichick tree looking like it always has. Unfortunately, it looks good in New England. You put it somewhere else, it does not look the same. Devontae Adams is still Devontae Adams, getting open, making plays. But for some reason, Derek Carr isn't spreading the ball like he used to. The concepts that you're used to seeing, getting wide open, creative looks, aren't what they used to be. Defensively, they're not stopping a soul. So I don't know what they're doing defensively and schematically. A lot of things to clean up. I need to look at the All-22. But Kyler, that's his one win. And so Kyler threw for 314 today? Like, he's getting his yardage, but it's a lot of times it's garbage yards. They're down multiple touchdowns, double digits, and he's getting the ball down the field, but score points.
Right. Those stats mean nothing to me, Rich, because it reminded me, like, being a Lions fan and always them being behind, Matthew Stafford had, you know, these killer 300, 350, 400-yard games where the Lions just inevitably would lose. They're down, you know, multiple scores. You're seeing that same kind of thing with the Cardinals. Cardinals got out to an incredibly hot start last year where that team in the league, that hot team, and then all of a sudden Call of Duty came out and Kyler Murray was no longer to be seen anywhere. And it's like the same regression that we saw at the tail end of last year has continued into this year. You know, I mean, the offense is not dynamic. The defense is trying to keep them in games, but it's just they're hard to watch, Rich. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're not wrong, and I'm sure people are questioning. Cliff Kingsbury just got an extension, so he has nothing to worry about. He's not going to be in anybody's hot seat, and it's concerning because the second half of the season for the last 2-3 years, they've been under 500 for the second half of the season, and that's concerning because they're not starting the season as hot as they usually did. I mean, one year they started off 8-0 and then barely snuck into the playoffs, and then, you know, one round and out. And that's where you're concerned because if they're struggling this early in the season, they're not going to get better. I mean, they're still waiting for J.J. Watt to come back. It's going to be interesting down the stretch because that NFC West is, you know, if San Francisco wins tonight and the Rams just won, then it starts to kind of get away from you quick.
Tonight's game is going to be big. It's going to be big for the NFC West because, like you say, if the Niners can win a tough game in Mile High and get that second win of the season, you know, the Cardinals are going to be playing catch up the rest of the year.
But it's also a big game for Denver.
Well,
because now all of a sudden, AFC West is way more wide open than it once was. You know, they're 1-1 right now. They win this game, they're what, 2-1? tied for first in the AFC West with 0-3 Raiders and 1-2 Chargers beat up and hurt. Like, it starts to look a lot different.
It totally does. It absolutely, this is a huge game for the Broncos tonight, Richard. This is going to be one that is going to define their season personally, I think. We thought this AFC West, and it probably still is, was an absolute juggernaut of a division. It's looking to be a lot more obtainable for any team to win it, especially with the Chiefs going out and losing to the Colts today. But you got to win these home games, primetime games. It's going to be a tough one, though. So, I don't know. Your thoughts. I'll let you get a prediction, even though this will likely air towards the end of that game.
That's why you don't get you don't do gimmies in this National Football League, because before the season, you saw, hey, Chargers at Jacksonville. All right, that's a win. That's a win. That's a win. No, it's not. And they got beat by 28. And then you're like, Chiefs at Colts. Ah, that's probably an easy win. The Chiefs are champions. Yada, yada, yada. Nope. Even beginning of the season, you're like, oh, Chiefs. Oh, man, the Colts. The Colts last week, you watched that game. You're like, okay, Chiefs got a win here. Now what are they going to do? Nope. Lost. The league is not predictable. That's why people love watching National Football League, because there's parity. Any given Sunday, it can go down. Your team can go down. Heavy favorites. That's why Vegas don't do 20, 30 point favorites in National Football League. It's a 1.5 favorite tonight. Like, because anything can happen. Vegas don't want to lose their head by saying, hey, it's the 13 point favorite here. Yada, yada, yada. Because they do that sometimes and they get banged over the head because people are like, I know the National Football League is crazy. Anything can happen. Tonight, it depends. It's a crazy game. It's the first game Jimmy Garoppolo is starting since the NFC Championship last year. I'm sure he feels better, you know, more confident. He and Kyle Shanahan have talked. They want to take more shots down the field. Jimmy G is tired of hearing the rhetoric of, I don't take shots. I can't throw the ball down the field. He's like, when I first got here, that's all I was doing is throwing the ball down the field. And he's like, hey, I want to get back to that. But at the same time, this defense has to show up. This defense is number one in a lot of categories. Yards, first downs. I think they're top five in turnovers. They're top three in points. And they have to show up tonight. Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead is out. He's out for this game. So you need Fred Warner to step up. You need Javon Kinlaw to step up. You need the secondary, Charvarius Ward, E-Man, to step up. Talanoa Hufanga is out there looking like an all-pro. He has to continue it. And then you weather the storm until my boy Jimmy Ward comes back. But you know who needs to put a stamp on this game?
I got to know, Rich. Who?
My boy chain-snatching Debo and Brandon Ayuk. Ayuk it! Like, I need it.
Richard, Debo is going to Debo. I think with Garoppolo being back at the helm, I think we're going to see more natural Debo Samuel out there. And I'd love to see it. Love to see it.
You're going to see it, and you're going to see the run game wake up. You're going to see a lot more checks at the line of scrimmage, because Kyle is going to give him that, because he knows, hey, I've had this guy in tough situations, big-time ball games. He's able to handle that much on his plate. He's not a rookie, so it just changes the way he calls it.
Richard, how much pressure? I mean, I don't want to look at the Trey Lance injury as a blessing by any means, but how much pressure does this take off of Kyle Shanahan, knowing that he can just slot in Jimmy G and let him have the keys to the car for the rest of the season?
Oh, I'm sure it takes a lot more relief. You know, he slept a lot easier at night knowing that he didn't have to play Purdy the rest of the year and worry about all the people, the naysayers, saying, hey, you should have kept Jimmy G. Hey, you should have kept Jimmy G. He kept Jimmy G and took it in the front end. Hey, I'm going to take the criticism in the front end. Hey, you guys hate it, yada, yada, yada. Now he looks like a genius, and people are like, did he know something? No, he didn't know nothing. He knows football is 100% injury rate for players. And he knows this is a scrambling, running quarterback, that anything can happen. And he put himself in a position to say, hey, we're going to keep our team in the best position. No matter what happens, we're not out of this thing. Because every team is one quarterback injury away from saying, hey, get him next year.
Rich, before we sign off, I want to backtrack to Thursday. You were on Amazon Prime, Thursday Night Football. It was an interesting game. You know, we saw some big plays. Finally started throwing the ball downfield with Mitch Trubisky. But it was another underwhelming performance overall by Trubisky. At what point do you think the Steelers and Mike Tomlin are going to make a change and go with the new kid out of Pitt?
It doesn't sound like anytime soon. It doesn't sound like anytime soon. And that's unfortunate, because if you're in that locker room and you're seeing that, like, you don't know if the rookie's better. You know, that's the thing. You don't know if the rookie's better. You could go get out there with the rookie and you throw four interceptions in the first game and you're like, why did we do this? But you do know who Mitch Trubisky is. And even at his best, in the second half of that game, he made some amazing throws in the fourth quarter, like moving the ball down the field, threading the needle. Like, good job. Heck of a job. But at the end of the day, he threw for a little over 200 yards, and you have some big-time playmakers out there who could really push the ball down the field. You just saw George Pickens. He targeted him one time on a deep route and on a catchable ball, and the kid made a heck of a play for him. And it's like they've run him on 62 routes. Majority of them are clear outs, and he's not involved in the play. Hey, I'm just running a go route or a post to just get somebody else open. And it's like, hey, the first time you run it and actually toss him the rock, lo and behold, the kid can play. Like, you got to keep giving guys shots. You can't play so safe with the football. And that's where it's concerning, because a young kid doesn't know any better. So he may get bit and be like, hey, well, you're learning the hard way. But this way you're playing, they're playing, it's hard to give them a chance to win a lot of these ball games. When you get in there with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson and the score starts getting away from you, you have to start getting aggressive, and it's just hard for them to do that right now.
Well, that's just it, Rich. This Pittsburgh team and the culture within that organization is a winning one, right? And it's probably got to feel a little unnatural when you're losing to a division rival that's supposed to have a down year this year in the Browns. And the game, you know, while it was close for a minute, it really wasn't at the end. You know, I mean, the Browns looked like the better team, and that's got to be a little bit of worry to the fans in Pittsburgh. But Richard, this wraps up our week three podcast. I know you want to get to watching your 49ers take on the Broncos. So I will let you sign us off.
Yeah, I got to look forward to it. The concerning thing for them, Jacoby Brissett looked better than their guy. And
yep.
And Jacoby Brissett is not going to be the starter when the Browns, if they go to the playoffs or later in the season, Deshaun Watson is going to be. And you got to think that teams like Pittsburgh regret just passing up on a guy like that. He looks like a great leader, a great locker room guy, and a guy who has a ton of respect and command of this Browns offense. And it's a positive story that we love to see. Appreciate you guys joining us again for this episode on the Richard Sherman podcast with me and my guy Mitchell Eisenstein. We'll see you Tuesday with our special guest. Let you know that later on. Enjoy the game tonight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.